In Russia, podcast listened to you.
It's funny because it's backwards.
Right.
Right.
And Russian. Welcome to the Bitter End podcast, where we're being really Russian. Or, well, we might try to do Russian accents and we'll probably end up sounding like we're doing Dracula. Welcome to Moscow.
We are rushing into this intro about a very Russian film that I like to call Police Academy Mission to Moscow. My name's Todd Jordan.
I'm Tom Denny.
And we are the Bitter End podcast. Welcome, comrades!
Da, da! And we're at the bitter end. This is the last one.
Dude, high five! We are teetering on the brink of the final film of this franchise at time of recording in 2017. I don't know if, you know, the future might hold a Police Academy 8. I would welcome it with open arms.
Indeed, indeed. But for now, we're just going to have to give Police Academy a big old kiss on the mouth and say goodbye. Big old kisses on the mouth, something that was featured in the trailer.
Oh, yes. So do describe the trailer for our listeners, Tom.
So this film came out in 1994. So we had a 5-year gap.
Whoa!
And, you know, the world had changed between Police Academy Six City Under Siege and Police Academy Mission to Moscow. The Cold War was cooling down, you know, like the two sides were starting to come together. And that's like the big drive of this trailer. Like, hey, we used to be at a Cold War. Now everything's kind of getting back together, we're starting to cooperate. Guess who it is? It's the fucking Police Academy gang. They're over in Russia. Lasard is there. He's being given a big old kiss on the mouth by a Russian guy. I don't know if that is a traditional Russian thing.
I have no idea. He seems uncharacteristically grumpy about it. Like, Lasard seems like quite a touchy-feely guy normally.
Yeah, you think...
And in the trailer, he fucking does not like being kissed by this Russian bloke.
Well, maybe he's just like, I don't want to be seen being given a full-on man kiss on the mouth out in the streets of Russia because he's a bit worried about being taken to a gulag.
Oh, maybe. Not so stupid after all, right?
Yeah, he's just kind of like, whoa, 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 come to my hotel room later, make sure nobody sees you, but not on the street.
I got to admit, there were more of the regular gang than I was expecting to return for this. We had Lasard, we had Harris, there was fucking Michael Winslow, there was Tackleberry, and there was Callahan.
So there's more than you think that we're back, but at the same time, they're going, the Fantastic Five are back, and it's kind of, and you just kind of go like, don't try and make me think that these are the only Police Academy characters that have been in these films. You'd be like, it's always been about this core five. No, it hasn't. Come on now.
They gave Hightower a fucking medal. Where's he? Isn't that fantastic enough?
Yeah, where's Hooks?
I want to know where Hooks is. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Harris, love Harris, but he took 2 years off.
Is House there?
I mean, I assume House is always... He's always out of shot, even in our own lives. I always feel he's just outside my peripheral vision, just kind of hanging out, being like, me also. The other thing from this trailer is like, there was a lot of kind of slapsticky, you know, people falling over and things going bang. But they had like that voiceover guy, I think, for the, you know, like the classic, you know, like in a world guy. And fuck me, does he not stop talking?
He won't shut up, will he?
Yeah, it's just like, they think that the war is over, but it might start again. And just when you thought that this might happen, a thing. And it's just a list of him saying, like, they might be doing this, but alternatively, maybe this might happen.
Yes, one thing, but then sometimes other things.
Those fearless five from the Force are together again on a mission of peace and understanding. Ow! Because the Academy's finest will stop at nothing.
Americansky police.
When it comes to fighting crime.
Do we have proof?
They're not sitting down on the job.
Machina Boobski.
They're not being taken for a ride. And when it's time to use force, excess is best. They're about to show Russia just how ugly Americans can get. The Cold War may be over, but give them time. They just got here. Police Academy, Mission to Moscow.
We are in deep worst.
Fucking hell. It was just... I feel like he was really working overtime to just kind of distract from whatever was going on in the train, because I can't remember any of it. I'm just like, I think that maybe someone got hit in the dick.
Yeah. And like, this is, I guess, how this is like their shuckster routine to like get you into the cinema. It's like when you, you know, if someone pickpockets you, they distract you, they just keep talking, they keep talking. You think you're like, you've walked away and you're like, that was a odd interaction. And then suddenly you're like, where's my wallet gone?
Yeah, you go,
why am I in a cinema seat?
Yeah, where are all the rest of the Police Academy gang? There was always more than five, but that's how they get you.
That's how they get you.
So we should go and get into this, the final chapter of the film franchise.
Oh my god, it's totes emotion.
And it's going to get even more emotional. For the last time, Todd, it's your chance to play the IMDb guessing game, Police Academy edition.
I love that game.
Okay. So, the last film was City Under Siege, and that got a mean 4.1. Now, we both enjoyed that film
quite a bit.
It was one of the highlights of the series. Now, what do you think that Police Academy Mission to Moscow from 1994 has rated? Final entry, what's it going to be?
Well, Tom, this one is tricky for me to do, and it's going to... You know, it's going to need me to dredge up a little bit of my past, because as I've mentioned before, I've seen this film, buddy. I've seen it. I saw it in the cinema in 1994. I would have been 10 or 11, depending on the month of release. It was a friend's birthday party. My mate Nick, that I went to school with, I remember it really clearly. Shout out, Nick. Whoop, whoop. And I had a really, really great time. And I thought that this film was the bee's bollocks.
Okay.
But I remember very, very little of it.
Mm.
And so this feeling has been part of the inspiration of a little experiment that we're going to do today.
Oh, yes.
Whereby I'm going to regress. I'm going to watch this film as I did then with a child. I'm purely going to be drinking Coca-Cola, which I would have had in the cinema. Now, Coca-Cola are doing a special promotion at the moment where they've inexplicably written the names of loads of cities on their bottles. I tried to find a Moscow Coke bottle. They don't, for some reason, they're not doing that one.
Come on,
but
man.
I was able to get a Miami one. So
I'm
still repping the franchise in some way. So I'm going to be sat there like a little tiny boy. I'm going to kick my legs out on my chair and I'm going to drink my Coke and I'm going to try and recapture that feeling. Meanwhile, I do believe that you, Tom, will be getting into the Russian spirit.
Spirit. I see what you did there. I'll just be drinking. You were nice enough to pick me up some vodka on your way over. So we'll be like coming at this from, you know, grown up Tom here in 2017, getting stuck into some drinkies.
Some Russian drinkies.
And
versus regressing tiny little 11-year-old toddly T trying to recapture that spirit. The reason I bring all of this up is that this might affect the sort of the overall enjoyment of the movie, right?
Yeah,
this is it's an interesting experiment. So I can purely base my IMDb guess on that feeling I had when I saw it in the cinema at the Odeon, probably. And I'm going to say, I think it's going to go up from the 4.1.
Really? Bold? Okay.
That's I need it to. I need it, Tom.
Okay.
I need it.
Okay.
4.3.
Okay, mate. You are out by a entire point in the other direction. It's a 3.3. That's nearly a whole point drop off from the last film.
That is incredibly low.
Yeah, it's not good, is it?
That is incredibly low.
That is like made for TV Universal Soldier movie territory.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. And once you get below that, there's nowhere else to go but The Howling. Seven.
Well, Universal Soldier did go back up.
Did it?
It did.
Well, maybe when they finally make Police Academy 8, we will
yeah, so
have that go
there
up.
Is still hope. But for now, it's cold. It's bleak. We're going to Russia. And that's the end of that. Cheers.
Cheers, buddy.
Clink.
Congratulations. Clinky, clinky.
The cans don't really come through on the mic, do they?
Yes, so that is, I'm drinking delicious lemon pop, like a child. And what are you drinking, Tom?
I'm drinking like a 6.5 IPA.
Well, how have our experiences differed? Let me tell you that I had a fucking banging time.
Did you?
Yeah, I was like jumping out of my seat. There was at least 2 points where I properly lost my shit laughing during this.
Really? Like, I found this one, this was like the most confused Police Academy film. Like, it was like replicating Lassard's mental state in that it just did not know where it was going.
Well, maybe that's the key to enjoying these films. Sugar. Not alcohol,
yeah,
sugar and
maybe.
E numbers.
Although, actually, at the end of the film, I was really brought on board where a certain character's arc over like 7 films really came together.
Oh.
But we'll get to that.
We will get
but
that
into bit
that.
Made me kind of like, you know, when I was kind of like slightly tipsy, kind of be like, yes, I'm a boy.
I'm a real boy. But yeah, buddy, congratulations to you.
We've done it. Bitter End. That's like, how many seasons have we done now?
This is the end of season 6.
Fucking hell.
Yes, we fucking did it, and I'm feeling pretty good.
Поздравление, товарищ.
Oh, sorry, what was that? We forgot to introduce you to our special guest. She's here with us in the studio now. It's the robot voice from Google Translate.
Поздравление, товарищ.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, and what does that mean in English?
Congratulations, comrade.
Ah, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Google Translate robot. She is going to be occasionally chipping in to translate little bits of Russian for us today.
Yeah, yeah. So, let's break it down to the nitty-gritty here.
Grit my nits, baby.
So, I'm just going to kick it off and you'll say that this film... They don't call it Police Academy 7.
No, 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 no.
And that was the warning sign, because you know what this film does not start with? A Police Academy skyline. And, like, this sounds like a very minor point, but I was like, oh, no.
That was where they lost you.
They lost me from the opening scene, yes.
I love that this is the hill you're going to die on.
Yeah.
You do not start a Police Academy film without an anonymous shot of Toronto.
No, no, you don't. Like, it was all downhill from there. It was they were trying to mix things up. What were they trying? I don't know. Anyway, it was a fucking odd intro, actually. There was no skyline. For one, I nearly walked out of the room and Todd had to, like, pull me back in. And then it starts off with a newscast.
Yeah, there's a newscast. The newscaster lady is inexplicably completely cross-eyed, and it's fucking hilarious. They never address it. She's not a wacky character. She's just got, like, crazy bug eyes, like, that are fake.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's amazing. Her co-anchor on this live news TV show is a guy playing a fucking Game Boy.
94,
because it's
baby.
1994. He's playing his Game Boy live on air for a news story about this, about the computer game phenomenon that's sweeping the entire world. Yes, it's an incredibly addictive video game that's come out of Russia, is taking the world by storm. Interesting to note that the popular Game Boy game Tetris is, I believe, Russian.
It is indeed.
So this was clearly the inspiration for this. This game is nothing like Tetris. It's like a kind of an isometric beat-em-up where you're a bear called Boris the Bear.
We'll get to this, like what the mechanics of this game. It's called The Game.
Unbelievable that the screenwriters were like, we're going to make this whole movie about this video game. What should we call it? Just put The Game in the script for now, we'll change it later.
I feel that, like, every copy of the script, The Game was covered over in highlighter as a note to the scriptwriters that we need to change this at some point, and then they just never did. Anyway, it's the most addictive, popular game in the world, bit like Tetris. You actually look at what the game is like. It's nothing like Tetris. Like, all the screenshots of this game, the most addictive game in the world, is basically an isometric view of a man walking around a room with nothing in it.
You're a bear, and you're supposed to go around and beat up Americans. There's a couple of, like, the posters show this, like, bear in Russian clothing, like, beating up Americans.
But the actual, like, gameplay, whenever you see anyone playing it, they're just like, it's a bear walking around an empty room, and they're like, I cannot get out of this level. And then, like, they walk through a door, and then...
Then they've discovered the Kremlin, and they're in the next level.
Yeah, it's very... You know what it looked like?
What did it look like?
It looked like the video game section from Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes!
Like, same kind of, like... art department that had never seen a video game. Like, it looks a bit like a cartoon, right? It's like, no.
No, that's not what they look like. And crucially for me as the viewing experience here, straight away we got the difference between the viewer drinking alcohol and the viewer drinking sugar, because I was just like instantly bought in and really distracted by the lady with the funny cross eyes and was laughing. Whereas Tom got angry and belligerent about the fact that the dude playing the Game Boy, his Game Boy had no cartridge in it.
It had no cartridge in it, but then the news anchor said, the game is available on cartridge and floppy disk. Well, what?
Calm it down,
okay,
Tom.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, the other thing is that they're saying that supposedly this game is a front, or like is owned by the head of the Russian mafia, played by Mr. Ron Perlman, Hellboy himself.
This is the first time in his career that he played a Russian, but not the last. In the movie immediately after this, which is Jean-Pierre Jeunet's City of Lost Children, he plays a Russian strongman.
Do you think he did this as like to get in
to
character?
Warm up. Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, so Perlman is looking amazing in this with his huge big face, his big fuck-off face.
Such a big face.
And he's this Russian mobster called Konstantin, and he's got a pet snake called Skippy.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. like, he's mugging and gurning for all he's worth in this movie. He's a bit of a treat. And so, like, because the Cold War is ending, the Russians need some help. And apparently Konstantin had been in America for a few years, setting up an American wing of the Russian mob.
Yeah, and like everybody knows that his video game empire is like just a front.
But no one can do anything. No one can touch him. And Lassard apparently tackled with him, you know, like years ago when he was in America. So the Russians have sent for Lassard and his crack gang of whoever the fuck is still left.
Not just any Russians have sent for Lassard. Do you know who sends for Lassard?
Whom?
Fucking Christopher Lee in a handlebar moustache that's the size of Russia itself. He's got this amazing handlebar moustache. He's barely doing a Russian accent.
He's barely in the film.
He's barely in the film. But I am so happy to see Christoph Lee. Lee McGee.
Lee McGee. He's back. He's not doing a Russian accent. He's just reverted back to Dracula settings. Like, so many people, like him and Ron Perlman, are just like, ah, yes, the children of the night. This is fucking amazing.
Oh, I'm loving it. I'm so glad to welcome him back into the fold with open arms. Christoph Lee, Lily McGee, forget about the Howling 2, your sister is a werewolf. All is forgiven.
We're sending off for the lads. We get this shot of Lassard at the police academy, which suddenly is no longer like a real building. It is just a cardboard TV set. Like after like the real ramp up in like quality that we saw in City Under Siege. Ooh, it's downturn on this one. It looks quite cheap.
Yeah, there's a lot of wobbly cardboard walls and...
Lassard's got his goldfish back. That's a thing. We forgot about that for a few films. Goldfish is back. He does like this weird... basketball trick. He does like a trick shot.
He bounces it off the scoreboard, off a bench, off of a red-headed lady's head.
Nothing but net.
Lassard says the words, nothing but net.
Which is... The thing that I found like quite confusing about this scene, not just that, like Lassard suddenly can do basketball, but like they're actually making Lassard seem like he's quite competent at something, which is not...
Yeah, he could have gone pro.
Yeah, like it's like, no, like he doesn't have any skills at anything. He's meant to be this befuddled guy that you always wonder why he is there. Anyway, he's getting the gang back together. We don't have a Gutenberg, so we better really quickly find someone to be this film's Goots, because his nephew...
just doesn't show up.
Nick, he's not there.
Gone back to Miami, I guess.
So do you know who shows up? Dude out of fucking Diagnosis Murder, that's who shows up.
Oh, yeah, which guy in Diagnosis Murder?
So not Dick Van Dyke.
No.
Not Dick Van Dyke's son.
No.
Not Scott Baio. The other Scott Baio.
The kind of...
The young guy with the big blonde mullet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's off fake Goots. He's a guy called Connors. And he's a bit of a wise guy. He's a bit of a whimmy wham wham wazzle. And... there's much talk around the academy about everyone getting sent out to Russia on this trip for Lily McGee. And Connors is trying to impress this girl who's in charge of the computers. And as a joke, he changes the name on the list on the computer of who's getting sent to his own name. And it's like, hey, look at me. Hey, I'm going to Moscow. Hey, look at me. But then before he can change it back, oh no, he gets called in to go and actually talk to the Tsar about it before he gets a chance to change it back. And now he has to go.
But like his big character arc is that he's scared of heights. It doesn't really amount to much.
No, it comes up once or twice, but it could have easily been cut.
Harris is also going, and he is now apparently an expert in surveillance.
Yeah, this is a new thing, apparently. He gets introduced as the surveillance expert. Everywhere he goes, he's checking for bugs. Because when we first see him, he's like hiding in the wall, eavesdropping on Lasard's conversation.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, is he going to try and like... try and ruin the trip? And it's, no, he's not trying to ruin the trip.
He's going there to try and do a good job. I mean, he still wants to be the one that gets all the glory.
But he's not a baddie. He's actually legitimately working with them now. He just, everywhere he goes, he loves like hiding microphones because he's a peeping Tom, I guess.
I guess he's just really dealing with Proctor dying, which I assume happened between, like in the 5 years between films, because no one talks about Proctor.
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Damn. He died doing what he loved.
moving on.
So they fuck off to Russia. Lily McGee gives Lasard a big old smooch on the gob, as we saw in the trailer. And, you know, like everyone's like, great, Lasard's here. He is going to sort everything out. Lasard is like, I'm going to sort everything out. This is going to be brilliant. Which one's my car at the airport? And he gets into a hearse and then disappears for the rest of the film. Like, he just basically goes and lives with this bereaved family.
Yeah, it's actually quite a funny joke, which I legitimately really enjoyed this.
Yeah.
He's supposed to get in the car to go to the hotel. He just gets told, go in the first car. It's a hearse, as Tom says. It's got a coffin in it, a grieving family. He attends the whole funeral with them, goes home to live with them. They become, and just throughout the movie, we just regularly cut back to Lasard.
Just hanging out with this family.
And they all love him because he's so lovable. But there's two other kind of really interesting points about this scene. So just before he gets in the hearse, Lasard says to Lily McGee, Christoph Lee, Dracula himself, he says, what's my car? Christopher Lee goes, it's that one. And then Lasard says to Christopher Lee, are you coming with us? And Christopher Lee goes, no, I must go to the toilet. Which is just a really funny thing to hear Christopher Lee say. He says, I must go to the toilet. And then he walks off screen and is never seen again. Until the very end of the film. He spends the whole film in the loo, basically.
Yeah, he's kind of like, no, I mean, I came in that car, but this is going to take a while. Don't wait for me.
But, like, it's amazing. And yeah. I just wonder, I really like to think that Christopher Lee on set was like, may I speak to the script supervisor? Yes, I don't feel like my character would need to go to the toilet now. I feel like he, could he perhaps have an important phone call to make? Yeah, or?
And they're like, you shut your goddamn mouth, Christopher Lee. This is 1994. No one gives a fuck about you until you do Lord of the Rings. Now shut up and say you need to go and take a shit.
Oh, dear. I wish I'd invested my money better. Poor Christopher Lee.
I know. It was a rough road for him.
Yeah. So I loved that moment as just like a career highlight. And then there's this also other really funny subplot that comes out of this, which is Christopher Lee's kind of assistant guy is this like slightly bumbling, slightly mischievous Russian lad.
He's like the Russian Harris.
Yeah. And he works out that he's lost Lasard, that Lasard has gone missing. And he's so embarrassed about it. He doesn't want to admit that he's lost track of Lasard. So when they're back at the hotel, he pays a Russian bellboy, like just kind of an old kind of like, doesn't speak any English, just like a big mustachioed Russian guy, pays him to stay in Lasard's room, eat room service, drink vodka for the whole trip. And he's just like, anytime anyone knocks on the door, you say, I'm in the bathroom, I'll meet you later. And they keep cutting back to it. And it's really funny because the Russian guy keeps getting the line wrong.
When you hear door, you say, I'm in the bathroom, I'll meet you there.
I'm in the bathroom. Meet me there.
Again. I'm in the bathroom, I'll meet you there.
I'm in the bathroom, meet you there.
Yeah, this was quite a fun little bit.
It's the legitimate gag. I dug it.
It was all right. So when they're at the hotel, there is also a very strange Callahan bit. Because you know that Callahan is funny because she's a woman and got boobs?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's her character, basically. That there is a shot of like an open doorway and it's literally just her tits that come out, but accompanied by the jaws. Dun-dun. That is it.
They're just like float into view. No, I'm just chuckling thinking about it now.
It's just a couple of seconds. Dun-dun, boobs. That is it. What the fuck was that all about?
Hey, man, I don't care.
I don't know. You know, I thought like was the lack of jokes that landed, that somebody was kind of like, I've got it. You know what tits look like? Sharks. You ever notice that, lads? I'm not entirely sure. It's going in the film. Another great thing that Christoph Lee does.
Okay.
He does not give a fuck about Winslow's shit. For the first time in seven films, somebody reacts appropriately to Michael Winslow's shit. Winslow is... They're in a briefing where he's talking about, like, Christoph Lee's like, this is what Ron Perlman is up to with his game. I will write on the chalkboard with the chalk. And he's writing on the chalkboard. And then Winslow, being really funny, makes the sound of chalk on a chalkboard. Like a squeaky sound of chalk, which is shit
it's
anyway.
It's not that convincing. It just goes, I just did it.
And it's like, and it's also kind of a sound that you would expect from chalk on a chalkboard anyway. And instantly Christoph Lee is like, are you shitting me, mate? Just gives him a real bit of stink eye. And then he does it again. And he just basically picks up like his the chalkboard eraser, just lobs it square into Winslow's face. Fucking A.
Fucking A. Oh, what's that? Our special guest Google Translate Russian bot?
Здравствуйте, Winslow.
Could you say that again?
Здравствуйте, Winslow.
I didn't really get that. What does that mean?
Fuck you, Winslow.
Oh, yes, of course.
Of course. Always on the money with your commentary, Russian Google Translate bot.
But also, the other thing is, like, at this point in the film, so, like, Winslow, Tackleberry and Callahan have said hardly anything at this point. We're, like, what, like, 20, 30 minutes? Like, 20 minutes? I've lost all track of time. Anyway, we're quite far into the film and they've said nothing.
Fucking nothing. It's mental. And there's... Oh, I'll tell you what does happen, though. The first sort of big proper bit of, like, characters doing their shtick that actually lands for me. Extended bit of Tackleberry.
Oh.
Yeah, now this bit runs deep. So Tackleberry's just, like, walking around the Russian police station. He wanders in to like a seminar that's being given by Russians for Russians, luckily in English, inexplicably.
Oh, yeah.
And they go, our American visitors, come up and give us a presentation about American police force in US of A. And he's like, yes, I'd be glad to. What I want to talk to you Russians about is all of the bullshit regulations we have to deal with in America, which just control what you're allowed to do. I want to talk to you about the worst rule of all, the rule about excessive force. And then he gets Harris and he just starts beating the crap out of him, like beating him to within an inch of his life.
Yeah.
A single blow to the body, say to the lower thigh. Render a subject completely incapacitated. But no. Nowadays, this too is considered to be excessive force. I mean, they want me to uphold the law, but they tie my hands.
And there's no jokes.
Yeah.
It's just Tackleberry fucking foaming at the mouth.
It's just like Tackleberry goes full far right. Like, he's just kind of like, it's like, oh, so apparently this is too much. Just like fucking belting him around. And then he just pulls up. But luckily, there's Old Faithful. And he pulls out, like, the end of his seminars, he pulls out a gun. It's like, well, at least I've always got my gun to murder people. And it was just like, ooh, this is uncomfortable, isn't it? This is problematic.
Throughout that whole scene, I kept thinking, oh, is Stuck in the Middle with You about to come on, like from Reservoir Dogs?
Oh my God, yeah. Not far away. Yeah, so that was kind of fucked up. The big Winslow set piece is he rides a bike.
Yeah, he sees this Russian little boy at Gorky Park and he's getting bullied by these other kids who are amazing at riding bicycles. And this little boy's a bit younger and isn't very good at riding bikes. Winslow goes up to this, like, you know, maybe 7-year-old Russian boy and goes, hey, kid, don't you worry about them. Just because they're good at riding bikes doesn't mean they're cool. And the little boy looks at him and is like,
are you cool, Mr. Winslow? No!
In perfect English, he's like, thank you, mister. And then Winslow takes his bike off him.
And he rides around and pretends to make motorbike noises while a Russian mobster tries to shoot him. There's no gags, it goes nowhere. Thankfully, the scene is saved by a Russian grandma just coming out and fucking clobbering this Russian gangster with her handbag.
Enjoyed that.
Yeah, I feel that maybe she wasn't even cast in the film originally. She just like was a bystander just being like, this scene is dying on its ass. Someone has to do something.
Stop this madness.
Thank you, Russian grandma, for stepping up. So where are we going here with this plot? They've gotta try and get Ron Perlman.
Well, the thing is that Ron Perlman is aware that the Americans are in town, so he kind of puts a hit out on them.
Mm.
And very little kind of comes of it. That's why they're trying to shoot at Winslow. We get a little bit more of Lassard hanging out with the Russian family. He's wearing stars and stripes braces and gets into a weird riff with the granddad in the family.
Oh, yes, this is my favorite.
Where they have a peeled boiled egg in Lassard's mouth, just like an egg with no shell, and he's puts it in his mouth whole, and then it pops out of his mouth and lands in the granddad's mouth, and then the granddad pops it back out of his mouth, and they just kind of mouth juggle back and forth same egg.
Yeah, they just spit an egg back and forth into each other's mouths. It's kind of gross, but it was funny.
Yeah, I was into it.
I was feeling like that Lassard has gone full on Frank Drebin in this one.
Yeah, like that thing with the egg, definitely.
Yeah, that was very Naked Gun.
And he attempts a joke to the mother of the Russian family to try and like talk about their differences. But the joke doesn't make sense. And I think maybe the joke is that he has lost his mind. So he says,
Americans leave without saying goodbye. Russians say goodbye without leaving.
Ha
ha! Ha ha! Those were words?
Yeah.
Have you ever known a Russian to say goodbye without leaving? Is that a thing they do?
No, I know some Russian people and they definitely leave when they say goodbye. Googlebot?
Я должен пойти в туалет.
And what does that mean?
I must go to the toilet.
Oh, like Christopher Lee. Okay, but you're not going anywhere. You're just staying there.
She is a phone, I guess.
I guess. All right, you stay there. Anyway, what happens next, Tom?
So, there's the unsuccessful hit. There's a bunch of capering that goes on.
They go to the Moscow State Circus.
Oh, yes.
And Connor's... Oh, my God, we haven't even talked about Katerina.
Yes, so she is the love interest because obviously every film needs a Gutenberg or less and a Kim Cattrall or less. And so our fake Goots has the love interest. What was the character's name?
I think her name's Katrina or Katerina, something like that.
Yes, and she is played by the actress who plays Jason Lee's girlfriend in the film Mallrats. That will either mean something to you or nothing at all.
I know which camp I'm in.
And yeah, like, there's some weird kind of like thing where she's like, I wanted to go on holiday. That her big story arc is that she wants to go on holiday because she spent 3 years not going on holiday. And then these fucking Americans come over. And then she's like, he's like, don't worry about it. I'm going to go and do Diagnosis Murder soon. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. You'll go on holiday. And then she doesn't get to go on holiday because the Americans are still there. And he's like, well, let's go to the Russian State Circus then. I'm sure some jokes will happen.
And they
don't.
No. He gets instead pulled into being like an acrobatic routine. That's where his fear of heights briefly comes back. Doesn't matter. Doesn't amount to anything.
Yeah, because it really seemed like they were setting up something that, like, there would be something in the finale where he would have to do something from great height and he would have to overcome his fear to save the day. No.
No. No.
No. That's a classic police academy setup and no follow through. And, like, the Russian circus was not funny, but there are obviously some other clowns in this film, because there's a bit where Harris and the gang are kind of saying, like, oh, we were told that, you know, we would have some Russian officers that would help us try and find Ron the Pearl Man. And the Russian Harris goes, oh, yeah, in this room, these guys will help you. And you just go into a room and it's these three Russian guys who only talk like the knights who say me from from Monty Python, the Holy Grail. And they're meant to be police officers, but they're trying to paint a room and it's like a Benny Hill sketch in there. So every now and then in this film, the Police Academy gang are helped out by these three kind of like Russian clown Three Stooges.
It's really weird.
It's very strange, but they're quite fun when they show up because they're so strange. They're just like...
Do that again. I don't like the way your head moves when you do that.
It's really coming through on that potty, mate. Anyway.
You're creeping me out, dude.
Well, I'm the one who's been drinking. You're just hopped up on sugar. So... The Russian circus, that's a bust. Then they try and hustle Ron Perlman. They try and get in with him. They go to a casino on a boat that the Pearlster likes to hang out on. Callahan gets to do a bit of singing.
Yeah, she's sung once or twice before. Here she's undercover as like the entertainer in the casino. She's in a big red dress. She's standing on the piano. She's singing a song. She's got some funny bits. Like she's got some, she doesn't play it like too heavy. Like she's just kind of like doing this song and then like a couple of bits where she'll do the note too hard. Like too like
she really Callahan's it.
Yeah, and it's quite funny.
Yeah.
It's quite funny. Was I gay to today?
He's gone.
Oh, yeah. And Ron Perlman sees her and falls instantly in love. He's like, what a vision of womanhood.
Da. She will be mine. And then it's like him trying to make her his kind of gangster's mole. Dude from Diagnosis Murder tries to get in there and like punches out one of Ron Perlman's goons. And Ron Perlman is impressed by this. And he's like, hey, you have a job, kid? And he's like, hey, I'm just here for the herring. Which was the joke that tickled me in the film. I don't know why. A little bit of herring humor. And... So they're kind of like getting entrenched in, they're kind of like going undercover in the Pearl Man's gang. And Callahan gets a lot to do. She's got like the most lines she's had in any film. And it's nice to finally see her have a little bit of something going on. Would you not agree?
I would absolutely agree. And she then becomes really, really integral in it because...
they go on a date,
they? On a date to the Bolshoi Ballet. And... The whole plan is that she wants to try and catch Perlman in the act of buying weapons off of someone who they get a tip he's going to meet them at the Bolshoi.
Yes.
So they want to catch him in the act of buying these weapons.
Вы забыли о странной сцене с Харрисом в пачке.
Oh, what's that Googlebot? Sorry, I still don't speak much Russian.
You forgot about the weird scene with Harris in the tutu.
Oh, you're right, Googlebot. Thank you. Yes, because while they're at the Bolshoi Ballet, Harris is like don't forget, he's not a baddie in this. He's on our team's side. He's just a bit of a prick. So he rocks up and he's like, you've got to let me in. I've got to arrest Konstantin, the famous Russian mobster in there. And the girl on the ticket desk is like, well, you can't come in without a ticket. And he's like, I'm a police officer. Of course I can come in without a ticket. She's like, nobody gets into the Bolshoi without a ticket. He's like, we'll see about that. And then we cut to like Callahan and the pollster are watching their ballet. And there's all these ballerinas on, and then who like dances on from the side of the stage but Harris in a tutu, and he like joins in the act, and that's how he got in. But I don't think he understands what ballet is, because while he's dancing around, he also goes and it's fucking hilarious.
And then Tackleberry comes in, kind of dressed like Dracula. He dances around as well. And then the bust goes sour.
It does.
It wasn't an arms deal. It was like something, it was like a, in quote marks, legitimate business transaction.
He was making a charitable donation.
And they get hauled in front of the Russian Harris, and he's like, you guys are out on your fucking ass, mate. You're getting on the plane. If you're not on this plane back to the USA, you are like, you're going to prison. Sending you to a gulag, hard labor. You will not survive in there, Winslow. and so the team are really like, they're pretty bedraggled by this, and they're like, well, time to go back to America. But no, the Pearl Man sends his goons to kidnap Callahan.
Even though he knew she was a cop, he still was in love with her, and he must have her.
It's because he's sexually attracted to sharks.
Yeah. And we get this scene where it's at like this nice sort of house in the middle of the countryside. And the text on screen says, Konali, it's like a Russian word, Konali, it's Konstantin's Dacha, and then in brackets, country home. So don't say Dacha, just say country home then.
Yeah, or just say Dacha and we'll assume that it's his country home because it looks like that.
Yeah.
We get to see the Pearl Man's shag pad.
Oh my God, it's so much to love about this set.
It's so cheap. It is like the most bargain basement, like, love den. He's got this big, like, heart-shaped headboard. He's got two lava lamps on the go. He's got two pictures of Elvis. His double bed is clearly made of two single beds pushed together that are different heights, covered in a very cheap fake satin sheet.
And Callahan is trying her best to lie on this bed in the way so that we can't see that it's two...
We saw it instantly, Callahan. Yeah. I mean, hats off to your girl, but we saw it.
And they try and, like, Pearlman's trying to kind of create a bit of a romantic situation. And Callahan, for her credit, she's, like, buying for time. She's trying to allow it to go. And I'm having this thought, like, Ron Perlman's face is so big. There's no way. Like, if he tries to motorboat her, he will kill her.
Oh, my, yeah, she's finally met her match.
Yeah, so no wonder there's so many sparks flying.
I know. Now, while Callahan has been taken away, crucially, the most important bit of the entire Police Academy franchise happens, which is the culmination of Harris's arc, where Harris finally becomes the hero that he's always wanted to be. Like, you know, like, he seemed like a bad guy, but he's, like, in these, like, more recent films... Like, the way they've dealt with Harris has kind of bugged me a bit. Mm. Because he was funnier as a foil in, like, the first film and stuff like that, because he was in a position of power and he had one up on everybody. And then eventually they would get their own back on him.
Yeah.
Whereas in this, he is just, like, he's being thwarted at every turn. Like, he's never, like... You need to have him, like, sort of, like, be dominant over somebody... For then you to feel, like, good about him having, like, one up.
Yeah, he's just always been, like, crushed underfoot.
Yeah, right? Whereas, yeah, he's just, like, a bit of a dick. He's, like, socially awkward, and they're just always being mean to him. Like, just, like, it almost seems like they're being...
Yeah.
Now they've become the bullies.
Yeah.
But Callahan gets kidnapped,
They all jump in a van, and he's like, no one on my team is getting killed, not while I'm in charge.
He's like, he loves them after all.
They're driving off, and then he's like, nope, we've left the girl from Mallrats behind. They stop the van, and he's like, get in the van. He says, move it, move it, move it. Or does he?
He Russians it up a bit, and he says, move ski, move ski, move ski.
Yes, mate. And then, like, they're driving, they're chasing after the gangsters, and because obviously Harris is a surveillance expert, as we've known all along, he's like, Tackleberry, here, you take this, it's like a tracer bullet, you shoot it into that car. Like, he's working with the gang, like, he's, like, it feels like suddenly they're bonding, they're connecting, and I was just like, yes!
Yes!
Fucking mate. Harris!
Fucking yes!
I was into that.
Yeah, it was a really good
arc. Made me feel like, you know, like, these characters, like, I think the thing is, like, they have it too easy, like, in a way that, like...
What, you mean because they can be shit through their police academy training, still get a job, they can be shit at their jobs,
yeah,
still get sent to exotic locations?
Everybody loves them. They're never, like, they were the underdogs for, like, half of the first film, but they've always had the upper hand, and so it suddenly becomes this thing where you go, like, oh, fuck, Harris is actually the underdog, and it was like... And now we get the culmination of the arc where he's rising up.
This is one of the most satisfying times that we have reached the bitter end of a franchise,
yes,
for me, because it really wraps it all up. Seven movies. It's a long journey. But Harris's fucking redemption.
Yeah, because it's kind of hard to identify with these other characters so much who generally, like, maybe, like you can identify with Hooks because, like, she is obviously, like, quite put down upon and then will have a big shout at the end. And you go, yeah, you go, Hooks. But... no one else is ever losing.
No, never.
They're always fine. Winslow is always fine. Tackleberry is always fine.
Lassard sometimes gets a little bit sad. But...
he gets a little bit sad, but it's like... and so, like, yeah, that... oh, yeah, into it.
Into it. Anyway, back to the plot, the relentless march of the plot. The plot will not be stopped. We must serve the plot at all costs. Callahan and Perlman... old Pearly King himself, they're in his love pad, and he's like telling her his amazing plan. He's releasing a sequel to The Game. Remember The Game, that Game Boy game from back at the beginning?
Oh, where the guy walks around one room.
Where the guy walks around one room.
Yeah.
He's bringing out a sequel. This was his plan all along.
New Game.
It's called The New Game, only this one's going to have like a worm virus program in it that's going to send everybody's computer data to him without them knowing.
And because it's the most popular game in the world, like, it's totally going to get installed on, like, government computers.
Everybody's playing it.
And he's gonna rule the show.
Yeah, that was his plan all along. He tells Callahan about it. Then he goes off to his computer. She sees him typing a password. She doesn't see the password, but she sees that it's 5 characters long. Then he fucks off. 2 of his goons come in to have a bit of a lech at Callahan, but it's all right, guys. She kicks their fucking asses.
Yes.
And then the rest of our good guy gang turn up. They find Callahan doesn't need the help. She's like, no worries, let's go, let's get out of here. And then they go off to, like, the big finale, where they basically kick the shit out of Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
Harris has him, like, tied up, and they're like, okay, well, we've got to guess the code. We know it's 5 digits. At which point Tom had the brilliant guess, Elvis. It's obviously Elvis. He had 2 pictures of Elvis in his room. It is not Elvis, no.
Bullshit.
It is the word greed, which they guess because Ron Perlman has a type-in with his computer password, apparently, written on it. They
Elvis,
just look at his type-in. It says greed. Who has a type-in that says greed?
Elvis made so much more sense. It was just, you know, it was like, you were like, oh, well, this guy, obviously he loves Elvis. Like, he's really into American culture because all these scenes of him being a Russian gangster look way more like being, like, Italian-American mob films. He just sits around listening to, like, Godfather-esque mandolin music and eating pasta because Russia... And
why not?
Yeah, like, why would he not be like, I love the king? But no, he loves greed because, man, this type-in is the fucking boom diggy.
But here we get another actually genuinely really good gag, I think. Or a really good gag if you've drunk a lot of Coca-Cola, baby. They're all at the computer and they're like, yes, it's greed. Okay, we're in. We've got the codes. Fine. This is the proof that we needed. They turn to look at the computer. They turn back. It's been, like, literally a second. And in that second, Ron Perlman's fucking legged it and Harris is tied up with his arms behind his back and masking tape over his face. He did it all in 1 second. It's a good gag.
It was good. It was good. So the Perlster, he runs back to his secret base to go and get his whatever it is he needs, his MacGuffin, the plans, the key or whatever. And his base is in a restaurant who is eating in the restaurant, but Lassard and his adopted Russian family. Lassard has completely forgotten who Constantine is, the man that he was supposed to come and arrest, who he has dealt with in the past. He walks in on him and he's kind of like, oh, hello, how are you, Ron Perlman? And Ron Perlman is like, my face is so huge, you'll never take me alive. And he's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Goldfish, blowjobs. And then they have a sword fight.
Yes, they have a fucking sword fight. Fucking Ron Perlman loses his shit. He gets so angry.
His face is so big. His nostrils are so flared. He is showing so many teeth.
Oh, it's so beautiful. And he has to keep doing this thing where he obviously keeps needing to on purpose miss Lassard. But like Lassard, the actor playing Lassard is a really old guy. He can't move that quickly.
Yeah.
So like Ron Perlman has to like really slowly lunge across the room and then go, oh no, my sword keeps like swerving over here to the right. It's so fun to watch.
Yeah. And then like Lassard like headbutts him, knees him in the balls, and like And wins! He wins, and then I was like, right, there's obviously going to be like a medal ceremony because it's a Police Academy film. They better fucking give one to Harris.
Yes, Harris was the real hero there, or at least Callahan, because the women never get medals in these movies.
No, you know what they do? They give it to fucking Lassard.
Well, he is the police officer of the decade.
He is the police officer. Well,
but he's already had that award.
That was 5 years ago. What's he done in the past 5 years?
Well, it's still within the decade.
Yeah. Anyway, so Christopher Lee comes back.
He's come out of the toilet.
Yeah, he's come back.
I'd like, give that 10 minutes if I were you.
Yeah, he comes back. He's like, how was that last 60 minutes? Did you miss me? just talking to my agent to see if I can just try and get out of this shit. And Christopher Lee does kind of a... He does a version of the Rocky IV speech where, like, at the end of Rocky IV, where, like, Rocky goes and beats the Cold War. He's like, if I can change, you could change. Everybody can change. It's like that, but not as good. Like, Christopher Lee goes, they're American, we're Russian. What the fuck do you want? We got Ron Perlman. Everything's fine.
Hey, Ron, when's Hellboy 3 coming out?
Yeah, basically. Do you need anyone to be in that? Have you heard of a thing called Lord of the Rings?
It's coming, people. It's coming. And then we end on a still frame of Lassard and Lily McGee, like, shaking hands or something. And it's just a still frame.
And then the credits have this bizarre scene of the Police Academy gang riding on horseback as, like, Russian Cossacks, like, tumbling, like they're, like, doing kind of, like, acrobatics on horseback. So it's just really funny because it's obviously a bunch of people who can actually do that shit filmed at distance. And then close-ups of the Police Academy gang clearly inside in a studio pretending to be on horses. I really love it because supposedly, like, Lassard is stood, like, at the top of, like, a human pyramid waving, like, a sword. And then in the long shot, you're just like, that is a 20-year-old man. Not this, like, 70-year-old Leslie Nielsen wannabe.
Так вот и все мы в горьком конце.
Good point. Could you just repeat that?
So that's it. We're at the bitter end.
It's true.
Спасибо, что вы гость на моем подкасте, Том.
And what does that mean?
Thank you for being a guest on my podcast, Tom.
Hang on a minute. Have you been going behind my back with Googlebot? Dude!
It was a back channel. It was a back channel of communication.
I'm still coming back for Series 7, right?
We'll talk about it later, Tom. We'll talk about it later.
Oh.
But you're right, Googlebot, that is the bitter end. And I fucking enjoyed this one so much. Can you tell? I've got energy.
You do have energy.
I am that little boy that went to the Odeon all those years ago.
I'm glad. I mean, it wasn't my favourite, but I've enjoyed kind of like just like reliving it now. Also, it's mercifully short. 79 minutes. That's how you want to make fucking films. Bosh.
Bosh, bosh, bagosh, gosh. But yeah, that is it, guys. So thank you very much for listening through to this episode and the others from this season. For those of you that haven't, if this is your first time listening through a season of The Bitter End, just to let you know what's going to happen now is we're not quite done with Police Academy. We're going to come back with one more episode, which is a wrap-up where we talk about all of the films as a whole, a few other little bits and bobs that might be sort of part of the franchise, but not necessarily the films. And that is also where we'll reveal what we're going to be covering for season 7. Because of course there's going to be a season 7. We ain't quitting any fucking time soon!
Damn right. I mean, assuming I'm invited back, now you and your fucking robot mate have tried to take over.
Я чертовски убиваю тебя обоих.
Yeah, I knew you'd say that.
I'll fucking kill you both.
Whoa, Googlebot, that is not cool!
Suddenly, Tommy D's not looking so bad, is he?
I will stab you in the head, mate.
Oh my god. Googlebot, I think you had better leave.
Fuck. Okay, well, we will be back for the wrap-up episode. Hopefully the psychotic Googlebot will not be here.
I will boil you in your own blood.
Fucking hell.
Jesus Christ. Okay, Tom, let's get the fuck out of here. We'll see you next time, Bitter End listeners, if we're alive.
No one is safe from Googlebot. Kneel before Googlebot. Just kidding, guys. I really had you going there.
Oh, Googlebot, you prankster.
Wanna join me at the Blue Oyster Bar? I hear it's tango night.
Sounds fucking great. I thought you'd never ask.